We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast that dives into social relationships and why the investment you put into them is so important. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with industry-leading professionals and dive into their networking experiences and expert advice.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Jennifer Buchholz. Jennifer is the founder of Excel and Flourish, a company specializing in corporate Microsoft training and other leadership and soft skills training. Whether she's helping people overcome inbox overwhelm, showing Excel tips, tricks, and shortcuts, or teaching assertive communication techniques, she's sure to make training like play to transform your workday. Her goal is to help people be more efficient and productive in their tech and communication to give them more time to have fun. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lori. Glad to be here.
Well, that was a really fun bio to read. And I know that you've got lots of amazing tips around technology, and I'm sure you're going to share some amazing tips around networking as well today, right?
That's the goal.
Cool. So I don't believe this, but I know that you've said that you're a self-proclaimed introvert. How did that influence your approach to networking?
So I had not officially really started networking until probably 2014. And I went to my first event in my local area, and I walked in a little after the event had started, and I felt that beautiful buzz of people in the room, and it scared me. It intimidated the heck out of me. So what I realized was that that buzz is for where all the extroverts go to play. And that's great. There's a community around it. And especially as a first networker at that event, you know, I didn't have any connections, nobody recognizing me to be pulled into that hive. And what I realized is that there's a whole bunch of extroverts. What I realized was that there's a whole bunch of introverts hanging out around the rim. And they're all watching that hive of activity. And I felt like I was at a middle school dance. Right. And so what I started to do was I just started to work the wall, and I'd go and meet one or two people, and we could have a bit of a more intimate, quieter conversation and almost look at the people in the middle and be like, huh, I wonder what's going on in there, and then go back to our conversation. And so what I learned as an introvert until I became more comfortable in the group or with my own networking skills, working the wall is a great way to get involved in the networking event without having to be in the middle of it.
Nice. That's really good. Sometimes walking into the full room at a networking event can be extremely overwhelming, as you were just talking about. What's your trick to getting started?
So I know I helped with this question, but I want to, like, this is self-disclosure. So, like, I might blush during this conversation. When I started doing this networking, I had just finished reading Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek, one of my favorites. And he talks about the idea of getting used to rejection. And his method for doing that was to ask 10 people for their phone numbers every single day, because he figures most people will say no, and you're going to accomplish this resiliency, which is a great tip.
Yep.
I was not going to be asking for phone numbers, but I wanted to do something that I was feeling intimidated about at my networking events as my way to jump in, kind of break the ice and get started.
Yep.
So my technique was to find the guy that was the tallest, because I'm 6 foot tall, the guy that was the tallest and probably the best looking guy in the room, and start networking with that person.
Okay.
And then I'm like, well, if that person, if that situation went well and I can introduce that person and offer them some, you know, other networking connections or things like that throughout the evening, it was my way of saying, okay, I've overcome what would be the most intimidating part of this for me. Now I can go and relax and enjoy the rest of the evening.
Nice.
So, blushing a little.
No, I like that. I think it's a fun little game that you set up for yourself, but it gave you a very specific goal.
Yep.
And once you accomplished that goal, you had a way to reward yourself, which was, I overcame this fear, therefore I can actually just enjoy myself now.
Exactly.
Cool. Really good. I know that you like to travel. What are your favorite networking tips for people when they're traveling?
Well, I really love to see what events are happening in any city that I go to. And that might be if there's conferences happening there. So I'm doing really a business networking Google search about what's happening in that specific area that I'm heading to. And for example, I was doing some business in Atlanta and I just looked to see what the Chamber of Commerce had going on. And I was able to go to one of their lunches. And I'm still in contact with people that I met at that lunch that one time because you're kind of the unique thing at that event.
Yep.
So everybody wants to get to know you a little bit. And I'll tell you, that was that experience showed me that I should never rule out some sort of business networking on any travel that I'm doing.
Smart. And obviously, Google is a great place to just type in and, you know, business networking events or your local chambers always have something going on to some degree.
Well, and then you have Eventbrite and Meetup as well. And I've gone to meetups in other cities and you never know what to expect, whether it's a social thing that you're making business connections at or a business thing that you're making social connections at.
Yeah.
It's a win-win.
Yeah, most definitely. Jennifer, I know that you have a number of classes and workshops, and one of your most popular ones is Overcome Inbox Overwhelm. Can you just share with our listeners a little bit about that?
You bet. I think we've all felt like just the weight of too many emails in our inbox. And I would go into businesses or at networking events, and this was something that people are just losing track of. And essentially, we're losing money if we lose track of our emails in one way, shape, or form. So I used to teach a more complicated system, and now I finally feel like I've gotten my system and approach streamlined to be able to share it with others. And it's really three steps. Get clean, which means I'm teaching the concepts of inbox zero, and you can go from full inbox to zero in 5 minutes or less without hitting delete and without losing all your messages.
Sorry.
I know.
I just don't. Okay.
It's hard to believe. I know. And then I have the second part. That's get clean. The second part is get organized. And that's really using some of the tools in, whether you're using Gmail or whether you're using Outlook, using some of the tools that are built in to create some more automated processes for your workflow and for your tasks so you don't lose track of stuff. And then the last one is getting streamlined, where you really dig into your own team processes and the way that you get stuff done. And then we'll create like canned messages or templates and things like that, so that every keystroke costs money.
Yep.
Right? And so if you are able to eliminate some keystrokes, I'm hoping that it's going to save you time and save you money.
Nice. Sorry I laughed, but...
It's true. I know. We've talked about this.
I know we have.
I also feel like there's some sort of therapy that should come along with this process.
Yeah. I get excited when my inbox is less than 100 unread. And I use Google's new or important and unread.
That's nice.
And when that's under 100, I get excited. And I feel like that's a big win for me.
And, you know, the thing is, there's so many cool technologies that come along with this, but they're not right for everybody. And that part gets overwhelming, too. So once I have an understanding of how people use the stuff, I can make an appropriate suggestion. Otherwise, it's just like, oh, here's a cool tool.
Yeah.
And people just get more overwhelmed.
Yeah. Cool tools are cool as long as they're actually performing the role that you need them to use. And at the end of the day, a tool is a tool, and you need someone to actually either set it up properly or to be consistent in how it's being used for it to be functional.
Absolutely.
All right, circling back to networking. One of my goals is to help alleviate some of the fear that people have when it comes to networking. And you addressed some of those fears initially here, but can you share with our listeners one of your favorite networking experiences that you've had?
Well, I'll say one of my favorites was one of those hives of activity. And again, that's an uncomfortable situation for me. So the fact that I'm saying it's a favorite, but again, it was our local big chamber in our local area was having an event, and it was a mixed event between a couple organizations. And I had gone in with a particular intention to meet five different people. And oftentimes I have a, you know, a certain intention. And as I'm working the room, I actually met a woman who was a student of mine over 10 years ago when I was teaching at a university, you know, 70 miles away from here.
Wow, cool.
And that reconnection with that person, and then to see where she's come in her career and to help her network on one of her first networking events. It was like being the teacher again,
yeah,
in a different setting.
Oh, cool.
And I just find running into people that you would never expect to reconnect with,
yeah,
is one of my favorites.
Yeah, and I find it's really interesting when people from like your different segments or different worlds show up. I know, you know, I'm a hockey player, not a good one. It's something I like to do for fun. But I'm always flabbergasted when I find like I'm at a business function and someone from the hockey community is at that same function. And I it just takes me a minute to like go, I know you, but where do I know you from? And how do I connect with you? And now we're not, you know, we're not doing the locker room talk. Now we're like professional.
Right, you're flipping the context.
Yeah. And it's so bizarre how that happens.
But it really goes to show like we're whole people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't just be one of those people at work and then at hockey and then at, you know, you're a whole person.
Yeah.
And you're always representing all of those parts.
But it is neat. That's one of the things I really like about going to networking events is you get to see more of that whole individual, or just you start that new relationship with someone and slowly get to get a bigger picture of who they are.
Exactly.
All right. So, Jennifer, you have many travels. You've quite a diverse professional background. What do you do to stay in front of or nurture the relationships that you've developed over these years?
Mostly, it's going to events for me.
Okay.
So I do find that the visibility of not just hosting events, but also being a regular attendee at a variety of different events, the nurturing is continuing to stay connected. So I definitely leverage LinkedIn. And when I go to events, they'll be like, oh, didn't you recently do this mm-hmm. event? So there's that connection, whether they've been to it or they've seen what I've been doing on LinkedIn. And I get a lot of referrals for speaking engagements, hosting speed networking events, just by being visible and present. And I know it might not be like the best technique because I'm not awesome at one-on-ones. They take a lot out of me energetically, and there's a lot of time to commit as a solopreneur. One-on-ones are great, and they really deepen the relationship and they're necessary. However, if I'm trying to almost get more bang for my buck, it's being visible at larger events.
Interesting. Okay. So I would think that as an introvert, the one-on-one would be a little easier and that the big event would be more exhaustive.
Yes. And so you're absolutely right. In theory, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But then the one-on-one requires me to be fully engaged with that one person for that period of time.
Uh-huh.
Where in a larger event, I can kind of pick and choose.
Sure.
And so the introvert in me was when there was a family function at home,
uh-huh.
I would actually go to my room and read for a little while to recover and
yep.
then go back to the
sure.
family event.
Interesting.
I feel like I can do the same thing at a larger networking event where the one-on-one, there's no chance to escape.
Yep, yep. Interesting. Yeah, and I can relate to the sense of being around a lot of people can be very exhausting, just people in general. And I find that I have a lot of energy and high energy, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, I need some alone time because I got to recharge.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Okay, so speed networking. Can you share for our listeners what speed networking is and maybe talk about what you're doing when you're hosting these events?
You bet. So speed networking can be done a variety of ways, and I've seen them be very effective mm-hmm. in a variety of ways. What I do when I'm running a speed networking event is I actually try to create a structure where people are set up with small groups for networking, maybe six people or so per group,
mm-hmm.
and they're often given a topic to start.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do it in a certain 15 minutes or 12 minutes for the first round, and then we switch. The reason why we do that is we provide a little bit of content around how do you enter and exit a networking situation? How are you introducing yourself? Don't just go and deal out your business cards kind
yeah.
of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And about developing that relationship. What we find is that people find safety in the structure.
Mm-hmm.
So in one of those speed networking rounds, there's not the people on the wall, because everyone is supposed to be in a group. And so, and then in the group, everyone is supposed to have a chance to talk. So the people who would normally be more reserved and just the listeners all have a responsibility to share with the group as well.
Sure.
And when they're given that instruction, they generally follow it.
Sure. Yeah.
So I get a lot of great feedback that these are really good events just because that structure gives them permission to do the networking that they might have been hesitant to do otherwise.
Sure. Yeah, very cool. It sounds like you identified some of the pains that you had with your initial networking experience and said, how can I solve this? And then developed a nice system that works.
Exactly.
Do you hold these consistently, or is it just kind of on demand, or how does that work?
So we do them for corporate.
Okay.
So we do have young professionals groups and things like that who want to have these types of events brought in.
Yeah.
So we'll do it for those. Then often when there's big events in our area, I've done it for the professional development boot camp or certain like startup week or entrepreneurship week.
Nice.
As a way to bring people together again in that structured format.
Yeah, really nice. I personally appreciate structure, so well done. What advice would you offer the business professionals looking to grow their network?
Get out, be visible, be consistent, and then find the people that like really like you and will promote you to others. There's a lot of groups out there that have a particular format where you're expected to refer, and there's real value in that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of businesses that do well in that type of format. But I find that when there's an expectation for a referral, that shifts the meaning of that referral. And instead, you know, fortunately or not, I probably have 10 different real estate agents in my network. And depending on what I know about the person that I'm making a connection to, I would be referring people differently.
Correct.
Based on who I know.
Yep.
And I don't want to feel a sense of obligation to refer to a particular person.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way that I can get to know them is by seeing them regularly at those events. So do not just expect that you're going to walk in, be welcomed, and become the next, you know, shining star in that group. It is consistent attendance. And I will say that that's been one of the things that I make a priority, is to get out to particular events consistently.
Are there specific events that you are consistent with in the Milwaukee area?
Yeah. So I'm a regular attendee at things through the MMAC, whether that's business after hours or other types of educational things that they do, and then their young professionals group, because I've been with them since, with Fuel, since I was younger, that's for sure. I'm also a fan of the Brookfield Chamber. I'm active in Local First Milwaukee, and then our chapter locally of the eWomen Network.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's a lot. Well, and then that's not my, those are just my fun ones, right? Then I have professional ones. The professional ones for me are the Society for Human Resource Management and the Association for Talent Development. I say those are more content that I'm going for than necessarily connection.
Sure. Yeah. And there's a balance of attending for educational purposes, attending events where there's other people there, as opposed to the networking component of it.
Right.
Nice. So a lot of the conversation has been around the in-person traditional networking. And obviously in today's day and age, technology and digital is a huge part of how people stay connected. Which one do you find more value in, digital or traditional networking?
I do have an appreciation for the online component of networking, but I think people really do define that differently. And I feel like that's the opportunity for more maybe consistency. Like in person, we know what a networking event is. We know what a one-on-one is. And in the virtual environment, you know, you could be getting messages from all these different locations, whether that's LinkedIn or email or texting. And then how do we put that into like our own process and context for staying caught up with that?
Yep.
So when I was doing things that were not as local, I was finding that I was regularly doing like a Zoom call or even phone calls. I can multitask and do a phone call sometimes when I'm driving.
Sure.
Or if I was driving for a long trip, I would schedule a bunch of those back to back.
Yep.
But the Zoom call, at least if you have a visual, you can see that that person's engaged with you in that networking moment.
Totally.
And you're deepening that relationship. A call feels more quick in accomplishing the business than really making a connection. Mm-hmm. So I love the balance of both and the ability to do both. What I really appreciate is that once I've met somebody, they're so much more receptive. And meeting meaning either in person or on Zoom.
Yep.
They're so much more receptive to then the electronic reach outs from there. So I feel like as I'm growing my network, I'm able to invite and ask people into stuff a lot more easily, and it's warming my network rather than just having that one-time introduction or, you know, that flash of a business card.
Yeah, no, I think that definitely makes sense. And there's I like the connection of, well, having that interaction regardless if it's on the phone or on Zoom or in person, that they are more receptive to any form of electronic connections because there's a connection. There's something that's resonating with them and you that says, I want to learn more about this person.
Exactly.
Okay, really good. I am happy to hear that you have an appreciation of what's happening online because obviously that's our,
exactly.
our bread and butter in the space that we're living in today. But yeah, I would imagine with your travels as you attend events in different communities, it's probably one of the easier ways to stay in touch with some of these individuals.
Absolutely.
If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
I would tell my 20-year-old self to be more frugal.
Okay.
That in general would be, and I mean that in relationship to my professional career, because as I probably was making different financial decisions, that all impacts my ability to then either have that slush fund to go out on and be an entrepreneur or to make other investments or things like that. Mm-hmm. So my 20-year-old self, she needed to keep her credit cards to herself kind of thing and not flash them out at other stores. But I have had a really diverse career, and what I've really found is that every step I've taken along the way has led me to exactly where I am right now.
Yep.
And whether that's good or bad in some cases, the lessons that I've learned have been entirely worthwhile.
Yeah.
But to have a little bit more cushion, and probably the other thing would be to be more assertive.
Okay.
Which is why I love teaching assertive communication techniques, especially to women. Because sometimes we just take what we're given rather than ask for what we want.
Yep.
And if I would have learned that a long time ago, that might have positioned me differently.
What I really appreciate about what I've learned with so far on this conversation that we've had is that you identify a pain that you have in your world and you figure out, how do I solve this? and you make it happen. And then you start paying it forward and teaching others. I think that's just great. Well done. Okay, back to my questions. we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person that you love to connect with, and do you think you can do it within the sixth degree?
I would probably use the typical person of Oprah.
Okay.
Because I believe that she has just been brilliant and overcome a lot of challenges. And I do believe I could probably do that within the 6 degrees of separation.
Okay.
I think between connections in Milwaukee and Chicago and then some connections that I have in Hollywood and the media, I could see that I could get there. But the question is, would I be assertive enough to ask?
Are you going to? Why not? She's shaking her head no right
she
now.
She is shaking her head no right now. You know, that's
you conquered your other fears.
Oh, man. You know what? That actually probably comes back to like a worthiness thing. Like, why would Oprah want to meet me?
Oh.
Right? But
there's I understand
we
that.
We all
yes.
have that yes. baggage that we're bringing to the table. But actually, no, I could do it in 2 degrees.
Okay.
I could do it in 2 degrees. Not that this woman could truly get me to Oprah, but she has met Oprah.
Yeah.
So fascinating.
Okay. Think about that.
I'm going to noodle on that.
And circle back with how the outcome has gone so far. All right. So one of my top questions that I like to ask as an entrepreneur who is a constant learner is where are you getting your education and new knowledge from right now? So what are you reading, or are there podcasts you're listening to or anything along those lines?
I am currently reading Spin Selling.
Okay.
And it's a book from the late 80s, which makes me feel really old. It was a recommendation from a person who does what we call more of those long sales.
Okay.
For people who are in a sales process that is more than just a one and done. It's a higher value sale. It takes a longer courtship.
Typically B2B sales.
Right.
For the most part. Some consumer, like houses and cars and whatnot.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's spin is situation, impact. Oh, man. No, spin, S-P-I-N, situation, problem, impact, need. And it's consistently going through this beautiful process of questioning to pull the answers out from the person. But it's not always just about the typical process of overcoming objections or it's similar stuff packaged in a different way that I think is digestible. And for me, what I've learned for myself is my biggest opportunity for growth is in learning the sales process.
Yep.
Because I like to help people and I try to get to the, I can help you, I can solve this place too quick.
Yep.
And then I find that I'm maybe promised more than what I was prepared to deliver. I can deliver, but it was going to take me longer to get there.
Sure.
So it's actually helping me take them through a process where it's mutually beneficial, not just that they have a need that I can solve.
Yeah. Isn't that fascinating?
And then, that's a qualifying kind of situation in that as well. So, again, anything that I can read to help me improve my sales experience and knowledge is great.
Cool. I've got some things I can share with you on that, too, actually.
Awesome.
Well, I do teach B2B sales and marketing, right?
I've heard that. I've heard that.
I know a thing or two about that space. It's a good acronym to remember.
Yep.
And it's good to have a process with anything that you do. And obviously, you preach that.
Exactly.
On a number of different things. So why wouldn't you apply it to just the sales model?
Exactly.
Okay, I'm going to throw you for a little hook here. New thing I'm doing with the podcast. I'm letting you ask me a question.
I would love to actually know, because I'm also an educator.
Uh-huh.
Tell me about you being an educator in this space and how you're serving, but how it also serves you.
Oh, interesting. How I'm an educator in this space and how I'm serving and it serves me. Great. So it's always been on my bucket list to teach. And I'm just going back, one of my favorite professors I had in my undergrad was a gentleman who he was a VP of a manufacturing company. So he worked full time and then he was teaching. And actually, I think it was a business sales course. Not that I look back on that. But he was my favorite professor because it's all the real world stuff. And I just love that. So ever since I had that class, it was just always ingrained in me that I wanted to kind of pay that forward, because I got more out of that class than probably any other class. And that's kind of what I'm doing. It's a goodwill thing. In that sense, and I love the engagement with the students and those that are engaged, I should say, get a lot of value out of what I'm sharing. It helps me to stay current on what's happening in our industry. I mean, marketing and everything in this world is changing extremely quickly. It's very fluid, and it kind of I'm able to stay on the pulse of what's hot. Which I like. I also have leveraged the relationships to find quality candidates to come work at Keystone Click.
Nice.
I've hired 2 past students, one of which is currently working full time for Keystone Click. Shout out to Mitch. And I think that's what better way to qualify individuals to work for you than sitting in a semester-long course and seeing who's asking the intelligent questions, who's understanding the assignments and engaged in the lecture. and comes after class and asks me follow-up questions. Those are the A players. Those are the ones that I want working for me.
Can I ask you a quick follow-up question?
Sure.
So if you could like name a class that you think is missing in that space, in that curriculum.
Oh, boy.
Think about that, though.
Oh, I know. It's business communication skills. 100%. This is the biggest hurdle that I see is that when individuals, and I see it just the students and how, so stepping back, you participated in my B2B sales and marketing course. I bring in businesses and the students actually do a project throughout the entire semester. And I see that they don't know how to communicate professionally with the businesses. And these are all seniors who are graduating and entering the workforce in the next semester, right? And then just bringing interns on and individuals who I've interviewed, because the majority of our team is, I'd say, on the greener side of the fence. And there's a lot of disconnect in how to present yourself professionally, not just in written form, but how you, you know, communicate with words. And everyone's afraid to pick up the phone nowadays. So I think there just needs to be, even if it's just a one credit course, it's how to write an email, how to, dress and sit properly in a meeting instead of slouching, you know. So
interesting.
Good questions. Cool. Thank you. All right, Jennifer, now back to you. Any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
I think the key word that you have there is really like the growing and supporting, that this is something that if you don't give food and water to, it will not grow.
Yeah.
And I actually have shifted my business over the last several years. I was doing some work with travel. And what's great is that there's people that I connected when I was promoting that business that carry over to this business that I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. And so it almost doesn't matter what hat you're wearing. Be you and be authentic and be consistent. Even if your business changes, you typically don't. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're building real relationships, not just trying to make sales, that's what's going to allow you to grow and have a growing and supported network.
Totally. I think that's fantastic advice. Giving food and water to it is common sense, right? but that's nurturing. We all need to be nurtured to be able to grow. And I love how you position that, regardless of the hat you're wearing, to be you and be authentic. No different than, like I was saying, the hockey community or a business event. I mean, I may use a different language in the locker room, mm-hmm. But I'm still me and I'm still just laying out Lori, right?
Exactly. And they'll know what to expect. I mean, that type of consistency mm-hmm. is really important.
Totally. If anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way they can reach you?
They can find me at jennifer@excelandflourish.com. Spell it all out. And also, they're certainly welcome to subscribe to our tips and tricks at excelandflourish.com.
Cool. We will include all that information in our show notes. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Jennifer.
Thank you for having me, Lori.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Jennifer Buchholz for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.